Hello.
Hello.
Hi, this is Kylie. Who else do we have on the line?
This is Corey McGregor
from Wyoming.
Okay, we got Corey McGregor and who else?
Rick Erringer from Wyoming.
Hi, Rick.
Hi, Corey.
How are you today, Rick?
Good. How's the weather up in northwest Wyoming?
The wind's blowing, but the sun's shining, so I guess I can't complain.
Well, yeah, kind of the same thing here, so take what
really?
We can get.
Yeah.
Who else do we have on the line? Nobody yet. I'm sorry?
Kylie, you're standing in for Steve?
Yes, pretty much all I'm doing is I have opened the call up for everybody, I've hit record, and when we get everybody signed on, I'll pass it off to Rick, and then you guys are in charge.
Okay.
That was Steve's instructions to me.
Yep, that's kind of what he said, so that'll work.
All right. Who else do we have calling in?
Rod Peterson, Nebraska.
Hey, Rod.
Hey. Gail LaPierre, Vermont.
Hi, Gail.
Hi there. How are you doing, Kylie?
Oh, you know. We've got crazy weather in Indiana. I'll just share that with you because it's just nuts. We've gone from sub-zero, you know, temperatures last week with a foot of snow on the ground to severe thunderstorms today with crazy lightning this morning and calling for an inch and a half of rain today. And it's all melting but has nowhere to go, so then it freezes every night, and we have rivers of basically just everything's a skating rink.
Oh, no.
So that's how everything's going here in Indiana right now. It's crazy weather, and everybody's treading carefully, and I fell on the ice yesterday. My husband fell on the ice yesterday. My sister fell on the ice and dislocated her shoulder. And
wow.
Terrible here. I'm hoping it all straightens out before the NTW.
sorry to hear that.
But hopefully everybody else's weather's not quite as weird as ours.
It's been an odd winter all around the U.S.
Yes.
So, yeah, even going down south, too, you'd think, well, Kentucky, maybe we'd get by with nice weather down there, but doesn't sound like that's the case either.
Yeah, somebody I talked to in North Carolina yesterday said they were having severe storms, and it was 74 there yesterday. I was like, 74 in February. Wow.
55 here yesterday in Wyoming, and we thought it was summertime.
That's what we're having today here.
I'm waiting for a couple more people to come in.
Well, I'm not really sure how many people Steve had heard from that would be calling in today, but I know that Rick and Corey, you know, have the whole call planned out here. So, you know, if you
we
guys
do.
Like, oh, well, that's what I was told. well, I'll just let you guys take it from here, and I've already hit record, so we've been recording ever since. You know, we all started talking. And then as others call in, you guys can update them if you like or just, you know, go on. So.
Okay, so so when we're done, we just hang up? Does that shut everything down or are you still going to be there? Or?
Oh, I'll be on the call.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'll stay on the line.
Okay.
So, yep, go ahead, Rick. And
okay.
I think we've got Rick Geringer and Corey McGregor, everybody, and I think Steve sent you guys all the agenda also, but we'll let them kind of go over everything with you on the adaptive equipment for hunting and that project that Corey's involved with.
Okay. Yeah, because several months ago, Steve had asked if anybody had any suggestions for topics on these calls, and I was thinking about Corey, and I know Corey had done a presentation at one of the NTWs a couple years ago, and so he kind of let whoever was at those breakout sessions know about what he's doing with the disabled hunters. And so I, you know, I thought maybe just an update would be nice from you, Corey, and maybe I think you had a recent hunt, and maybe just maybe a little bit about some of the technology you have to use to be able to adapt a rifle, or I'm not sure if you use more than rifles, if you do the bow and arrows too, but maybe you can kind of go into a little bit about just what you do to set up a hunt. So with that, I will turn it over to Corey and let him tell about what he's doing there.
Okay, well, thanks, Rick, and hello, everybody. I guess with the small amount of people, they must have heard my spiel at the national training, so didn't want any more of it. So anyways, what's that?
I was going to say, I doubt that.
Yeah. So I was going to say, what I'll do is I'll just kind of explain the hunting organization that we have out here in Wyoming a little bit, and then we'll just kind of get into some of the adaptive equipment that we've used and some of the stuff that we haven't used but that's on the market. But if any of you guys have questions or anything while I'm going through this, just holler at me or, and I'll try to answer them as we go. So actually, we're kind of a new organization. Back in 2008, just a few of us kind of formed a nonprofit organization, and we called it Wyoming Disabled Hunters. And our main goal was just to provide an affordable hunt for somebody with a disability, to either help them get into hunting or to help them get back into the sport that they were doing prior to an injury. So that's kind of how it all first started. And that was just, you know, 5 short years ago. We went from 4 hunters the first year, and last year we provided 30 hunts for people all over the United States. So I'm one of the co-founders of the organization and kind of been with it, so it's been kind of rewarding to see how much of a need is actually out there for helping somebody get back into recreation. That's one thing that, you know, I'm sure all of us know, you know, once somebody has a disability or something, their life revolves around doctor's visits, medical care, and wondering what the next day is going to bring for them. So being able to get a recreation back into their part of their living realm really helps them to get their mind off of, you know, what the next test is going to bring from the doctor's appointment or something, and just kind of helps them get a grasp on their life. So just a little bit, we did form a nonprofit organization, and our goal was to provide a, you know, an affordable hunt. And to this date, through the growth of the years or something, we've been able to do that pretty well. We don't charge for any of the hunts for any of our hunters. The only cost to them is their transportation to this area and the cost of their license. We provide all the meals, the lodging, the places to hunt, all the hunters and everything to take them out. So it's a free hunt for them. So for somebody with limited resources, they still have an opportunity to be able to come and join. So, and we also do, starting last year, we do have financial assistance finally available. We've grown to where even the people that can't afford it, we can help cover those costs for them. So, but just a little bit, once we started the organization, we kind of, you know, each state's going to be different. Some states are really good and have regulations set up for people with disabilities as maybe special equipment they can use or something that an able-bodied person would not be able to use in the hunting realm. But Wyoming had just a few things set up to kind of cover, and one of those was the Wyoming Disabled Hunting Permit. And what that would allow somebody is if they weren't able to get out into the woods or something, they could harvest or shoot an animal from a vehicle. They had to be off the road, and there were some other guidelines. But us as a group, we kind of seen there was a need for some better regulations or some change. So for the last few years, we've actually been working with the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission and legislatures to get some change for some better adaptations for a disabled hunter. And one of the most recent ones that we just got passed last year, actually, was the use of a laser sight for somebody with a visual impairment. And, you know, a lot of the hunters, a lot of them are pretty much like the farmers and ranchers that we provide services to. They either have come up with their own idea or they've gone out and manufactured their own piece of equipment to make the adaptation to get to do what they want to do. So each year we have somebody show up with their own equipment. But what we've done in the past is we've had, 2 years ago, we had three blind individuals that came on a hunt with us. And what we ended up setting up for them was we put a pistol scope on a rifle. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with rifle scopes and stuff, but a pistol scope gives more eye relief. So what that allowed was the blind individual could hold the rifle and the gun himself and do everything, load the gun, do the pointing and stuff, but with the eye relief, his companion hunter could stand behind him and look through the scope to aim it for him. So the companion hunter would sit behind him, tell him up, down, left, or right, and then the disabled or the blind hunter was doing everything else himself. He would follow off of the cues that the companion hunter was giving him. And we ended up having, out of our three hunters, all three of them harvested. We had one gentleman harvest a cow elk that way, and we had two individuals harvest a deer with a crossbow in the same way. So it's given those guys the independence to be able to do everything on their own, just with a little aid in the sighting of the deal. So with like everything, it's they've got to be able to go on the queue of the companion hunter and stuff. So with the laser sight now, what that will do is it'll actually, almost every state has those, they're illegal. You can't use any lighted sighting systems to aid in the taking of wildlife. But in Wyoming now, you can use it for visually impaired. And what that does is it's kind of like shoots a laser out there, like your little laser pointer. And what it is then it makes it easier for the companion hunter to be able to see that red dot out there, and he can line up the hunter easier with the hunter doing everything himself still. And as you know, lasers, they're not foolproof. Sunlight or different things like that's going to affect it a little bit, so it's not a guaranteed item that's going to work, but it is set up to hopefully better able that blind individual to harvest his animal. So that was one of the... Yeah, go ahead.
So if I understand right, the person that's sighting in cannot touch the rifle, or the person has to just go by what his what he's telling him.
Yeah, and I forgot that little part of it. Wyoming also has what they call a companion hunter permit. And what that does is allows the companion hunter a couple things. They can aid the individual with sighting or, the gun and things like that. But they can't actually be the ones that actually pull the trigger for him. But they can help aid in the, sighting or moving the gun or doing different things like that. Or they can also, they're also able to, if an animal does get away or something and over a hill where the disabled hunter could not get to, this permit allows that companion hunter to go over there and dispatch the animal.
Okay.
So it would help the individual, they could touch the gun and move it and stuff for them. They just can't pull the trigger. But for independence, we wanted to get that to where the individual could do everything that they possibly could on their own to give them their independence back. So what that does now is with the laser sight or the scope that we have set up, the only thing that the companion hunter is doing for the individual is actually sighting it for him. And all that is telling him up, down, left, or right. And the hunter's doing everything else himself. That clarify it?
Yeah, you bet.
Okay. And so this year is going to actually be the first year that we were able to use some of the laser sights. So I'm not too up on some of them. We're getting some of them set up on a firearm that we can loan out to some of our hunters that do come, so we can try them this year. I do know think there's one or two other states in the United States that actually have approved this for people with visual impairments. But like I said, not very many states are doing that as of yet. There's also another, I'm sure everybody knows, everybody now carries an iPhone with them. There's also now what they call an iScope. And we have not used one on our hunt. We've seen it in action and stuff. But what that is pretty much taking you, you get an app on your iPhone, and you get a mounting device that mounts onto the scope of a rifle. And what this app does then is then you've got your iPhone mounted to the back of the scope, and what that does is puts the crosshairs in the picture of the iPhone, and that allows the companion hunter then to be like, just like he's looking through the scope, and he can tell the blind individual up, down, left, or right. So, you know, with technology that way and stuff, things have gotten, you know, really, have gotten a lot better. So it's something that we're looking into getting as well. But a couple of the other devices that we've set up for other individuals is, like I said, a lot of our hunters actually come with their own adaptations already. Some of them, you know, were manufactured, or some of them they went on and kind of made their own deal. But there is a, if people are interested, there is a website called beadaptive.com, and it has got several adaptive equipment devices on there. And a bunch of them are, for instance, like somebody quadriplegic or not much hand movement or use, there's devices set up on there that hold the firearm, whether it be a bow, a crossbow, a crossbow or a rifle. But you can get, there's several different kinds. You can get some that just hold the weight of the rifle and the gun for you, and then the individual can still pull the trigger, or there's ones that are all set up to where it's like a sif and puff on a wheelchair. There's a mechanical motor in there that raises and lowers it when you blow on it a certain way, and it can aim the gun. And then when you blow in it and put a certain amount of pressure on it, it actually squeezes the trigger for them. We had one individual, actually we've had three individuals in the last couple of years that have had these devices, and they work great. They're, you know, for somebody that can't, doesn't have the strength to be able to reach up and pull the trigger on there, this device does it all for him. And it's the same thing. They're doing it all on their own with the adaptive equipment that they're using. So, but there's several different models on that website, if you guys are interested or have somebody that's interested in looking at them. You guys can kind of go there and look at some of the different models they have there. One other device is that we've used in the past is a bite trigger. And it's kind of the same concept, but it'll strap on to a trigger of either a rifle or a bow. And then all it takes is it's a thing that's adjustable, and then the individual can just bite down on the trigger, and it releases the trigger pressure and fires the firearm for them. So they're still independent, doing it all on their own. So
that's pretty amazing. Yeah, I guess you did kind of point out, I was wondering to what extent the hunters that come out to hunt, how severe are some of the disabilities, and it sounds like you have had persons using like a sip and puff type device to hunt also, and so sounds like you've had all ranges of disabilities on your hunts.
We've had some individuals, you know, that are able to get around, just can't walk a certain distance, to somebody that for instance, the one gentleman that we did have, he was a quadriplegic, and he had a sif and puff wheelchair and couldn't, his only movement was his chin, and he could move it up and down. And with this sif and puff device, he was able to harvest a cow elk and a couple years ago on one of our hunts. So it's a pretty exciting to be able to be a part of that with some adaptive equipment and see those guys be able to get back out and do what they were doing prior to their accident or whatever. And we've had people from, we've had people from all over the United States come in the last 5 years, New York, the Carolinas. We've had, you know, every corner of the United States, pretty much, we've had people joining up for our hunt, so it's pretty cool. And I know 2 years ago, and I know a lot of states are jumping on board with this, but Wyoming set up a certain clause for our disabled veterans that are coming back. And what that is if for somebody that qualifies, and I think it's 50% or more service-connected disability rating from the VA, they would qualify for what they call a donated license. And what that is that somebody purchases and buys the license, but then they can donate it to a disabled veteran. And last year we ended up having, 2 years ago is when that started, and we had, I think we had two disabled veterans that we took, and last year we ended up having 12 disabled veterans that we took out. And the one luxury of that donated license is, especially for somebody out of state, an out-of-state elk license is $577. So what that means is if we can do a donated license, is somebody else has purchased that and paid for that item, but then they can donate it to the disabled veteran. So they don't have, you know, the cost of the license to come out and be able to do that to get back into the hunt. But I think out of our 12 veterans last year, I think 7 of them harvested elk with us, and 1 of them harvested a deer. And some of them I know were, you know, they said, a lot of them said they'd never thought after their injury they'd ever be elk hunting ever again, or hunting in period. So they were pretty ecstatic to be able to be a part of that and harvest an animal. So
that sounds pretty exciting to be able to provide that opportunity.
Yeah, it's a good way to give back to the, you know, the veterans that have, you know, served for our country and stuff. It's just a little token of that we can give back and help them, you know, kind of forget about all the troubles they've gone through in the past. So
yeah, sure.
But yeah, and one other thing we did add last year, and it's kind of a work in progress, I guess you'd call it, but we did one of the gals that is our secretary, she actually put in and applied for a elk license, and she drew a bull elk license last year. Well, she also applied for, she got Miss Wheelchair Wyoming last year, and then she actually won the national competition, so she's Miss Wheelchair USA. But she was one of our hunters last year, and we took her out, and the first day or two, the animals weren't quite cooperating, so we kind of started this new program, which we call Extreme Wheelchair Hunting, and it kind of was something that the companion hunters kind of made up on their own as they went, but it's something that's kind of sparked a lot of interest from people. But it was literally, they went after the after the elk themselves, just like anybody else. What they did is a few places they'd get to a few draws, and they actually hooked a tow rope to her wheelchair and actually went to pulling her up the mountain after the quarry. So she ended up hunting for like 3 or 4 days, I think, which were pretty extreme from carrying her over draws and different things. But she was able to harvest her first bull elk, that sparked a lot of interest in people's. So that's something we're going to add every year and try to include a few extra people to actually do what we call an extreme wheelchair race or hunt. So I guess you'd call it like the extreme exports or something, but it's been everybody's wanting to kind of get back into doing some of that, so we're going to do some of that this next year or two. So
Wow.
But
do I understand she's going to be doing a presentation at Laramie coming up sometime soon?
She is, yeah. And I think first part of April she's going to do a presentation in Laramie. And I know with the Miss Wheelchair USA, she's actually done several presentations in Indiana. And I know she's traveling right now. She's got, and I'm not sure exactly where, but she's supposed to be, she's traveling kind of over the United States to do some talks about her life story and stuff, and then kind of getting involved with the hunting and things. But if you guys are interested, I was going to say we do have a website that has some more information on our organization and stuff, and we actually do have there's a tab at the top that says Miss Wheelchair USA, and there's you can click on that, and then there's actually a 15-minute YouTube clip of one of her presentations that she's done and kind of explains how she got into hunting and stuff like that. So, but our website is WyomingDisabledHunters.org, and you can go on there, and it's got pictures and stuff from the past and kind of what the group's been up to for the last 4 or 5 years. So, and there are some pictures on there of some adaptive equipment that some of our hunters have set up and used. So, and actually, that extreme wheelchair hunt that I was telling you about, that we actually had a film crew on that. And I think sometime early summer, Best of the West, it's actually on the Hunting Channel. They're actually going to film the hunt, or they're going to put the hunt on TV that they filmed. So, so pretty exciting. So,
and that's a channel. That's the name of the channel.
I'm not sure exactly the name of the channel. It's the Hunting Channel, which on DirecTV is like 606 or something. But this is one of the Best of the West is a hunting and filming group that they have a spot on TV every week or something like that, and they run different filmed hunts. Most of the time, if you just typed in like Best of the West or something, it'd pull it up and say which channels it's on. So, and I can, when I know more when it's going to come out and stuff, I can send people an email and let them know when, where it's going to be on. So,
okay, that'd be good.
That'd
be nice to send. That'd be nice to send the whole listserv. So then we could maybe, if there's a clip, like if they post it online after it airs, then we could link that to like the website and Facebook pages and stuff like that too. Just try to get get it spread out a little bit more even.
Yeah, I could do that. We could get that. So, like I said, they told us, I think it was supposed to be like May, June, somewhere in there, early summer. But I can keep everybody posted when we know for sure. So they said they'd let us know. So.
Yeah. That'd be good.
Yeah. You know, and it's, yeah, go ahead.
This is Nebraska. I've got a client that I'm pretty sure is going to be interested in this.
Okay.
On your website, does it have the draw information, the areas? Are there certain areas that they need to draw for? That whole process work in Wyoming?
Yeah, and I was going to kind of get into that a little bit. The way we're set up right now is they can either get on the website and they can contact us through that, or they can call me directly. What they'll need to do is first they have to qualify for that Wyoming Disabled Hunting Permit. That's the qualifications that we took. There's 6 different qualifications that the Wyoming Game and Fish Commission took, and that's on the Wyoming Game and Fish website, which we do have a link to that on our website.
Okay.
But anyways, they'll need to qualify for the permit and then fill out an application for us. As far as the elk hunt for out-of-state residents, the deadline has already been to put in for the license has already happened in January. If they're interested in the deer hunt, the deadline is actually March 1st, so it's coming up pretty quick. But with the deer, a lot of times we have leftover licenses, so for, later in the year, we may not have all of our spots filled, so there's still licenses left over. We can get in touch with them. Now, if they're a disabled veteran, we just have them get their disabled hunting permit and application for us, because that's a donated license, and we can get that set up during the year. Normally, that'll take place in the middle of summer when we draw names of who's going to go and then get the licenses over to them, so... But the information as far as what's that?
The next question I would have would be the device that he's going to need. He has an uncle that's an engineer, and they built a device that mounts on the hood of his of his pickup, and he runs it. He's quadriplegic technically. He has some use of his arms, but and he can drive. He moves this rifle around via remote control and a video system, and he's had several successful deer hunts on his own property here in Nebraska. Now, would that be legal in Wyoming, or how does all that work? And it probably wouldn't work real well for an elk hunt, if I'm not mistaken.
Right. It would be legal in Wyoming. He would have to get the disabled hunting permit, and then along with that, he'd get the shoot from the vehicle permit, which would that would make it legal. As far as the most of all of our hunts that we do, our elk and our deer hunt, we hunt out of portable ground blinds or permanent ground blinds. So what we do is we have transportation to those areas, and then the individuals get into the blinds and hunt out of those. So as far as the elk hunt, I would see that not working with the vehicle around. So we'd have to look at some other adaptations, you know, to either a lot of these devices, they're built to set up to actually strap or connect to the wheelchair. And then it actually does, you know, we have a couple of them where it just straps to the wheelchair and then you can either move it with your hands, or we're actually looking at getting the getting one with the, for the organization to have that would be the Sif and Puff that we could get set up for the individual to try. So for the elk hunt and probably the deer hunt, it'd be best if we had a device for him set up like that rather than the vehicle. You know, as far as the deer, it possibly could work for him in some of the areas that we do have. It just, he'd have better chances, I think, in an actual blind, which we could get set up, you know, figure out some of what he needs and stuff and see if one of these devices would work for him.
Okay, great. The best thing to do would be just have him contact you then and just see.
Yeah, have him contact me and then we can kind of, you know, figure out what he's interested in going and wanting to do. And then, you know, we can kind of go from there and get the licenses and everything lined up for him, so.
Oh, great. Thank you.
Yeah. And I was going to say, and back to some of that, a lot of, you know, most of, like our elk hunts, most of them are set up permanent blinds, but they're all wheelchair accessible. And then a lot of our deer hunts, we have set up portable blinds. They're the kind of the portable pop-up blinds. And a lot of those, just in the last few years, they've kind of, some companies have kind of really taken in the accessibility. You know, the old blinds for bow hunting and stuff had a little sliver, a zipper and a little sliver that you had to slide through. And if you're in a wheelchair, that didn't work very well. You had to pick the blind up and set it over top of you, and they weren't very big. But now they've got some new ones on the market and some that we purchased last year that the whole side zips open, and so you can roll right in with a wheelchair. There's plenty of room to be able to get into them. So, and there's even some out there that, especially back east where, you know, a lot of tree stands are used and stuff, there's actually wheelchair lifts out there, now, or tree stands out there that actually pick the whole wheelchair up into the trees for individuals. So technology's come quite a ways for being able to get those, and it, those guys back into the trees. So.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. But and in Wyoming, we don't have that very many trees, so we do it all from the ground. So
yeah.
But
so when you set up, Corey, when you set up these blinds, I assume you must set them, have them in an area where you know there's going to be elk or deer. How are you pretty sure that there will be deer or elk coming by to be able to? Rather than going to look for them, then I assume you just have to hope that they come to you. Is that fairly successful to do it that way?
Yeah, it's been, you know, just a little bit, you know, each state is different. But for instance, Wyoming, as far as like bow hunting, because we just strictly bow hunt for deer. And the season for that, excuse me, is in September in Wyoming. But as far as in Wyoming, we're still pretty warm at that time of year and stuff. So we actually do it during the rifle season in November, and we do it, do the bow hunting then for the deer in November because we have cooler weather and a lot more deer have come down to alfalfa fields, or they're a lot more accessible to the hunters. But yeah, most of our blinds and stuff are set up on either, you know, trails coming or going from, you know, fields or whatever to their bedding areas. And, you know, a lot of the places, you know, we get volunteers or landowners volunteering their land to let us use, and we're the only ones usually there for the first part of the season or the first hunt. But it is hunting, you know, it's not 100% guarantee or anything that you'll get a harvest or not. But actually, in the last 5 years, we've been over 75% in harvest success. So it's worked really well. And actually, last year we had 100% on our deer harvest. So,
well, now Corey, I know several years ago, I think Randy kind of helped get a filming crew set up to film one of your hunts. And is that link still on your? Is that video still on your website?
Yeah, and I'm glad you brought that up because Randy through the AgriBuildy ended up coming out and filming 3 or 4 days on there, and actually. The one gentleman that I was telling you about that we used the pistol scope that was blind, he's actually on that video, and they filmed him harvesting his cow elk, and it's linked on our, or it's on our website if you click on the video about Wyoming disabled hunters. It's actually on there, that video is, and shows that whole setup and how it worked, so.
Yeah, it's a pretty exciting video to see just, you know, how excited he was about being able to get the kill
right.
You know, the whole thing's right there. They filmed it as it happened. It's an amazing video.
Right, exactly. You know, and the one thing that I've really noticed, you know, is, there's a lot of people that do all sorts of different recreation, and hunting's not for everybody. But the one thing that really has helped a bunch of our individuals, you know, they have a disability and they're having a tough time, but being able to get them back outdoors and doing something they love. But one thing that I've had a lot of people, once they've harvested an animal, their pride of being able to provide for their family again. So they harvested the animal, they're able to provide food for their family, you know, for the next, if it's a deer, for the next 6 months, if it's an elk, it could be for the next 6 years. But that seems to be one of the huge things that, somebody has really pulled from that is once they harvested, they were able to provide for their family where, you know, with their disability or something, they're maybe not able to work or something. So they feel like they're giving back. So that's really increased their independence and their overall mood and everything. So.
Yeah.
But.
Well, I don't know, are there any more questions from anybody else? Have any other questions or comments? I heard it sound like a couple more people joined. I don't know if they are still on, but it sounded like maybe a couple more joined kind of when Corey got started.
Hey, this is Sheila over in Kansas. And, yeah, I was one of those people who, just as Corey came on. And Corey, I'm with Kansas AgriBuildy. I'm also with the AT program. And you guys were super when we decided we were trying to get involved in adapted hunting. You guys provided a lot of information on outdoor recreation and things like that. And well, we don't do anything as cool as bringing down elk in Kansas. Had some success with loaning out equipment to folks with disabilities in Kansas. We're deer hunters here, and then we still have a dwindling quail population we're struggling to keep up and also be able to harvest. And we've had real good luck. One thing I'd say is when we do hunts, farmers are really interested. When we just have the equipment at informational booths and things like that at farm shows, you know, you can show them lifts, you can show them all kinds of things, but if you show them a gun on a mount and a scope that they can use as a companion hunter, they're very, very interested. So it's been great for us in Kansas.
Well, good. I'm glad that program's working out for you guys. So that's great. So, and I was going to say, and one other thing, we've done some, we did a couple, each year they used to have the Wyoming Game and Fish, or a lot of, you know, other places they call them DNR, but your Game and Fish, but they used to, in Wyoming, they would do a sports expo every year, and it would run a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Well, the Thursday and Friday, what it was is it was open, and all of the kids or grade school kids, they would, all the schools from around the state would take their kids there. And we had one of these devices set up with a crossbow set up with the bite trigger and everything. And we used to have all the kids, they'd come by, and as, like you said, as soon as they see something like that, they're like, oh, cool, what is that? Well, we'd have all those kids sit on their arms, sit on their hands, and then sit in the wheelchair and then try to figure out how to bite or how they would shoot the weapon. So it was pretty cool to see the kids actually kind of open their mind up to see, you know, how adaptations or things can be changed if you didn't have use of your arm. So, like you said, it gets a lot of people's interest. So, and especially landowners, we've had a lot of people, we tell them what we're doing, and they're like, I'd love to donate my land for you guys to be able to do that. So it's nice to know that they're doing that in every state. So,
yeah, pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Did you have a range set up where the kids could actually shoot it?
No, we didn't have it set up where they could shoot it. We just had them, we had it set up where it wasn't cocked or anything, and we had the bite device on it, you know, and had to have them figure out how to, you know, how they would fire the weapon if it was ready. And some kids caught on right away, and some of them it took a little bit, but as soon as they figured it out, they thought it was pretty cool. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. And, you know, kids, it's, you know, especially with a firearm or something like that, it all catches their interest. So,
well, for sure.
Yeah. So.
Any other questions or comments? Well, Corey, I really appreciate you joining us today. I know you did this at the conference a couple of years ago, but it's nice to get an update too and get I think maybe some of the stuff maybe you talked about today, maybe you didn't have some of those options like the laser sights when you made that presentation. And so
right.
It's good to have an update from you.
Yeah. Well, thanks for asking me to do this, and hopefully I didn't confuse you guys all. But like I said, if you want more information or something, go to the website, and there's a link there that'll shoot an email to me, and I'd be happy to answer any questions you guys think of later. So,
okay, and I did want to mention too. I know you have you're on Facebook too. I don't know if that's
yes.
linked to the AgriBility Facebook page or not, but it's always good. I like to, you know, you're have regular updates on there too of if you've had a hunt and have pictures posted on there. And so I enjoy seeing what's going on there through Facebook too.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah, we do have a Facebook, and then I'm not the technical guru guy, but I think we do have a Twitter account or something as well too. So, but yeah, it's all set up there. So.
All right. Great.
Okay, I appreciate you guys going through all this today for Steve, and I know he wanted to be able to sit in on the call, but he got pulled into another meeting at the last minute off-site today. Was there any other topics, Rick, that you wanted to cover, or was that about it?
That was about it. And then,
okay.
I guess this is going to be archived. Is that's correct?
That's right. Yeah. Here in a second, I will stop the recording. But, yeah, it's been recording this whole time, and Steve will post that on the website where he archives, you know, all the rest of yours also.
Okay.
And was there anyone else who joined the call aside from Sheila?
Must not have been.
Okay, I just wanted to check.
I scared them off if they did. So.
And I don't know if you're going to mention, Kylie, I guess Steve had in his email too that there's going to be, of course, at the NTW, there'll be a breakfast meeting for the community of interest, the 8th Assistive Technology Community of Interest.
Yes. Yeah. Right now I have that scheduled for Tuesday morning. And I think that'll work out because I've got it at the same time as the evaluation committee. I'm not sure if that overlaps too many people. If it does, we'll switch it around. But for now, it's looking like Tuesday, April 1st.
Okay.
Yeah. We always work that out.
Yeah.
Well, we're down to just basically four now with just the AT COI and then the arthritis COI and then two committees, the evaluation and the marketing committee. So with being down to that, it's not as hard to schedule.
any updates or anything on the MTW coming up that you need to throw out there?
Well, I have been working this afternoon on trying to get the schedule all figured out because it seems like it takes, I don't know, four people and a genius to get it to all line up right to work for everyone when you have co-presenters that are overlapping with each other and things like that. So hopefully our schedule will be up soon. And pretty much everything's kind of going along pretty smoothly. Have the tours all figured out and set up, and registration's been going well, I think. And, you know, just looking forward to seeing everybody again. Hopefully the weather will straighten out, and we'll have nice weather this year, hopefully. And I'm really hoping no snow, but hopefully not any rain either. So.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, I think that's about it. So I appreciate everybody calling in today.
Okay. Well, thanks, Kylie, for filling in, and thank you, Corey, for sharing your presentation with us.
You're welcome, and thanks for sitting through it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, you guys.
Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.